Hey, so I want to welcome you to this episode of The Grind Scheme of Things, where we are talking about paying your contractors, subcontractors, hourly versus lump sum. And if you are a contractor, subcontractor, virtual assistant, service provider, digital service provider, this is also a conversation for you, because I want you to understand what the difference is and what the pluses and the minuses are for you, if you're not sure. So there's risks and there's rewards to both. Risks and rewards to you as the contractor or vendor, and there's risks and rewards to the business owner, bootstrapper, startup-preneur. And that's what we get into in this episode of The Grind Scheme of Things. So if you're interested in hearing more about that and determining whether or not lump sum or hourly is better for you, listen to this episode of The Grind Scheme of Things. Okay, in this episode or conversation inside of The Grind Scheme of Things podcast, I want to have a conversation that I rarely really see online regarding lump sum versus hourly. When you're starting up or you're in startup mode inside of your business, there is going to be an opportunity for you to bring on board a combination of contractors, vendors, sometimes part-timers, full-timers, you name it. And you're going to have to make the decision of how much help you can afford and how much help you can't afford to have. In other words, in some cases, you may have a need for someone to support you with lead acquisition or lead generation, etc. But on the other side, you also need the sales that come from that lead generation and lead acquisition process. So you got a way you afford to spend, in contrast to how much can you afford to not be able to spend in order for you to get the return on investment in the support and the help that you're getting. Does that make sense? Hopefully I didn't lose anyone on that. Okay. So these lean decisions have to ongoingly be made, whether it's for graphics, whether it's for SEO, whether it's for, video editing. Okay. So which one is better when it comes to making these decisions? What works better? Paying your teammates or members of your team, potential long-term members of your team, lump sum or hourly? Well, here's the conversation I want to have. And I want to share with you the risks and the benefits and the joys and the oohs and the ahs of both. Okay? And the different parties that are trying to make the most of it. So I want to first, let's take the view of your virtual assistant or your vendor in the form of those who come from platforms such as Fiverr or Upwork in the attractiveness of hourly. Okay. And the same thing applies to, those who are stateside as well as, internationally. It's all even. Okay. But there's a certain comfort that we all can appreciate. Let's think about it from the vendor side. When we know that for X amount of hours, I'm going to get paid X amount of dollars. And on the lump sum side, where, in some scenarios, some people are not as accustomed to this. On the lump sum side, you're going to get paid to get the job done in whatever the number of hours are, okay? And I want to talk about the pluses and the minuses of these. So if you're on the VA side, of course, to put in more hours, actually, let me take a step back. There was a debate and an argument when it hit me. I was working in construction. I was a project engineer. And one of the project managers, at some point, we were having a conversation as they were putting together an estimate. And he says, when people are billing you by the hour, their incentive is to take as much time as they can take to get the job done. Now, I know for some people, they feel like, oh, no, that's not the case. Just letting you know, this is what the industry whisper and communication and conversations are. Or at least what they were at the time when I was in the field. When you're paid by the hour, according to him, your incentive is to take as much time as you can take. But when you're paid by lump sum, the incentive is for you to get the job done. Now, the bittersweet of lump sum is that lump sum, in my experience, forces efficiency. Because you've got a finite amount to get a certain amount of work done. And you got to figure out, well, how do you operate and execute on the task at hand efficiently for that lump sum amount to be worth it? It forces you to start examine how efficient are you with getting things done, so that if you have to put in a lump sum bid on something, the lump sum bid gives that you offer, if you're on the vendor side, right, or contractor side, the lump sum bid that you give is going to be a reflection of how confident you are in your efficiency. So if it's a $1,500 project and you know you can get it done, if you put in a bid for $1,500 and you know you can get it done within $900, then everything else between that $900 and $1,500 is surplus. Right? Why? Because you figured out, like, okay, this job can be done, the market rate for it is $1,500, but I figured out what my efficiencies are to get it done for $900. But I'm going to put my bid in for $1,500. Sometimes what happens is that people put in bids or accept lump sums that are too close to their efficiency. What I mean by that is they're bidding or allowing themselves to be paid a lump sum amount that doesn't give them that cushion that I just described. And when that happens, people get upset. They get bothered, right? This is when you kind of get some passive aggressive dynamics between vendors, contractors, and you as the business owner. Okay. That's what happens. And I'm sure some of you are chuckling knowing exactly what I'm talking about. I've been there. I've accepted lump sum projects where I thought, okay, I can get it done for this, only to realize, like, oh my gosh, this is a lot more work than whatever this amount is that I've put in to get this task done. Right? We all had to learn. Some of us had to learn that. I know I did. So now you've got to have your lump sum number for a surplus with a surplus and know what your efficiency is. So if you're on the vendor or contractor side, I want you to just hear me out. If you don't have an efficiency system or an efficient system to help you get things done in a cost-effective way that increases margin, you're in trouble. It doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum, whether you are the person that's just doing a gig on Fiverr or someone who's submitting contracts to the government. If you don't give yourself enough cushion there, it's rough. It's rough. Okay? Now, let's talk about the hourly side. And I think that kind of goes without saying. On the hourly side, the situation is that as the vendor, as the contractor, there's a unfortunate temptation to just hang on to the comfort of knowing that every month or every week that there's X amount that's going to come. I get that question all the time. Hey, is this full-time? Is this part-time? Whenever I need something to get done and vendors or contractors are asking, I understand. Because in some cases, just that feeling of, oh man, I just know this steady amount is just going to be here every week. That forces a certain amount of comfort and unfortunately inefficiency. Because whether you do a really, really great job or kind of do a little bit of a shoddy job, you're still going to get paid by the hour. Versus if you're getting a lump sum payment, it has you start looking at the clock a little bit differently. Okay? Now, I know this could be controversial. I don't think it is. It could be debatable. I don't really think it is, but I'm open to hearing your response out if you have a difference in opinion or perspective, okay? I mean, you may even have other perspective beyond a disagreeable perspective. It just might be, hey, another layer of this conversation, okay? But this whole dynamic between lump sum and hourly, if you're on the vendor side, you got to figure it out for you. If you're going to do a billable hourly rate, you got to know, again, the margin in that, right? Where when someone's paying you by the hour, you got to know what the value, right, that you're going to be able to produce. And I'll say this, if you're going the hourly route, again, I'm still speaking to the vendors and the contractors that are starting out, okay? If you're seasoned, intermediate level, advanced level, this conversation is, you know, it's not for you, okay? But there are some nuggets in here that you might, you know, be reminded of and that would serve as great refreshers. So if you're on this beginning side, I want to tell you about the danger of the hourly or the risk and the reward of the hourly part. So the hourly part, the risk and the danger is that there is a laziness that's embedded in there. I know you may not agree. I know you may feel some type of way, but it's in there. If you've ever worked in a place where it's hourly and it's, you know, a good, comfortable hourly, I mean, what's the incentive for performance unless it's hourly plus commission? Okay. Which is a whole different conversation. Okay. So on this side, when we're talking about the hourly, the thing that is important to bear in mind is that if you're getting paid hourly, I would ask myself the question, do I produce at least 4 times that amount in revenue, some way, somehow, to the owner or to the person who's bringing you on board? And how is that quantified? You have to understand that. Is that quantified in closed deals? Is that quantified in closed business? Is that quantified in referrals that could lead to a future business? Like, you have to know, okay, if I'm being paid, if I'm charging this amount hourly, I can produce 4 times that amount for the owner or for the entrepreneur who's bringing me on board to do this. If you haven't done that math or you don't know that math or how to do that math, it's time to reexamine that math. It's so important. So important. Because this is how you get to really command your earn. When you can say, listen, this is what my hourly rate is, and if pressed or asked, hey, how come it's that, or someone might be wanting to negotiate it lower, you can say, hey, listen, I know I charge this, but I actually generate 4 times that amount for anybody who brings me on board. That's impressive. To me, if someone can stand by whatever their hourly rate is and say, yeah, you know what? I know, you know, it may not be cheap or whatever they say their assessment is of their hourly. I say, okay, you can say this. I know it may not be the price or maybe not be within the budget range or whatever the thing is that someone's coming at you with. You say, but I do always deliver on producing 4 times the value or four times the amount of whatever I'm paid. That would make someone pause and think and ask, well, what do you mean by that? And then you can say, hey, listen, when I'm on board, I generate X amount of revenue for my clients, or X amount of leads. If it's a 20% conversion rate, I can be counted on to deliver that result, right? So you now have to communicate that your hourly equals a certain amount of results. You see what I'm saying? That's when you, if you want your hourly to have some power, that's the way you communicate it. Okay? And if you want your lump sum to have some power, you know, you can charge it, but you got to know what your cutoff is before it gets too close to your threshold of productivity. Okay? Super valuable for you to know this. I know this is sort of, you know, a long, extended, maybe even painful examination of this model of lump sum versus hourly, but I think it's necessary, at least for those who are in that sort of bootstrap phase of making things work. You've got to understand. So now let's talk about on the owner side, okay? Okay, gotcha. So on the owner side, hourly versus lump sum, right? Because you're the person, if you're on the owner side or the contract owner or the entrepreneur or the business owner, whatever the case might be, contract manager, I should say, or project manager that's taking bids, what's the advantage of hourly versus lump sum? Well, lump sum, the advantage on the business owner side of lump sum, and I want the virtual combination of virtual assistants and contractors to hear this. I want you to hear this, like, this is what it looks like and smells like to the business owner, to the entrepreneur, to the startup bootstrapper. Okay? What lump sum versus virtual versus hourly is what it sounds like. Okay? If you're hourly, depending on what your rate is, if it's, you know, if it's median or low, lower than median, you know, the business owner is thinking, one of the things that they could be thinking is, okay, I can afford that. That's fine. That's like, you know, part of their overhead cost, depending on what you do for them. Okay, that's overhead. I can kind of afford that. Okay, not a problem. I can afford that. And that would be that. But depending on what the role is or what the task is, like if you're doing graphics work, unless like the graphics, right? And I forgot to qualify this in the beginning, in the other part of this, in the first half of this. Unless the graphics work is tied to conversions, like graphics for an ad that you feel like you're so good that your creatives can, you know, create a high return on ad spend, right? I mean, you know, it's tricky with graphics and things of that sort that are sort of like one and done, and then hopefully it works out and or it looks good. It's kind of hard to qualify, again, depending on what kind of graphics work that you do. But in other capacities, when they are related to marketing activities, marketing tasks, from a business owner side, if you're not already thinking this business to the small bootstrapper entrepreneur person, if you're not already thinking this, you've got to think for every dollar that you're spending for someone who's part of your team, they've got to they got to give you a return. And you got to know what that return is. Is it in leads generated? Is it in minimizing of churn? Is it in increasing the long-term customer value? Is it in increasing the amount per transaction? I mean, there's all kinds of ways to try to quantify what that hourly person impact is. Okay? So unless it's just like a dismissible amount, you got to pay attention to this. Okay? But every dollar counts when you're in the beginning phases of starting something up. So then here's the other side of this. Lump sum wise, if you're paying attention, one of the things to think about is, okay, this is my budget for these set of tasks. I can't go over it, but I can definitely come under it. And what you're negotiating is, hey, if I've got 500 or 700 or 5,000 for this particular task, and I'm looking for lump sum, okay? The lump sum that you allow is also kind of your gap to save some money, okay? Am I making sense? So if you've got 5,000 in the budget and you are looking for a contractor, one of the things that can happen is you might find a contractor that can do it for 3,000. But that contractor also has their own efficiency gap where they're like, okay, they're bidding for 3,000 and they can do it for maybe 2,200. Or 1900, right? So they're going to get their cut, their profit, and you get your savings that you can then redistribute to something else, right? So that's like the joy and the reward of lump sum. Am I making sense? Is this new to some? I mean, hopefully I'm talking to the, is this thing on? Okay, is this adding up? Right, you got 5,000 in the budget. You let the work out for 3,000. The person who's getting the work for 3,000, they know what their efficiencies are that allows 3,000 to be a good deal for them. And you know what works for you, because now you got a $2,000 difference between what the bid was and what you budgeted for, and you can keep that 2,000 and have it go somewhere else. Or depending on what your incentive is, whatever you save in that bid work, portion of it maybe comes back to you. Okay. Right? Now, the virtual work and the VA and the contract teams that are out there, here's how I want you to see this from the business owner side or the entrepreneur side, right? Now you understand why a business owner would want something to be lump sum, right? Because they've got a certain budget for that thing and a budget cap, and they can't go over that. And they need someone who can either do it for that price or do it lower. That it, and it's still going to be a win for them. Okay? On the hourly side, if you're going to do the work on the hourly side, just know what the multiplier is going to be of the value of your work. That way you can stick to it. You can say, hey, listen, we do it for this amount, and we promise that you're going to get 3 to 4 times return on ad spend or return on whatever it is that you're spending to pay us to do this by the hour. But I still caution that the hourly rate, depending on who's doing the work, it can incentivize the use of time versus productivity. Okay? All right. So I've covered lump sum from the perspective of the business owner, the bootstrapper, the startuppreneur, and I've covered hourly from the perspective of the owner and the bootstrapper and the startuppreneur. Right? And I've covered it from the perspective of the VA or the subcontractor. Now, you hear me talking about VAs and platforms, right? Because some of the work that needs to be done, depending on what business that you're in, is virtual. And that's the realm that a lot of my work traffics in. It's in that virtual arena where I don't need people to do things sort of physically in the space that I'm in. I need them to do it in the digital space that I'm in. Okay? But if your business is different and it's more physical, you need people to come and do the work on premise or whatever the situation might be, these principles are still relevant, because if you have that lump sum situation for somebody to come and do the floors, right, and you got $12,000 in the budget for someone to come and do the floors, and they put a bid at $8,000, you're not mad because you get to keep $4,000. And they're not mad if they can get their work done for $6,000 and pocket two. Okay. Very, very important. This, you know, I don't know why I hadn't thought to do this talk or have this conversation sooner, but it's so necessary to understand the difference between lump sum and the risks and the reward of both. I have to close out with this thought. The risk with lump sum is that if someone's systems to deliver the work aren't efficient, there is a danger that they will cut corners to be able to make budget for themselves. That is the danger. Right? You got $12,000 to get the floors done. Somebody bids $8,000 so that they can outbid someone else. But they know that their margin is narrow because they wanted to make sure they got that job to bid someone else out. Now they're going to figure out how they can cut corners or quality or whatever it is in order for them to make that thin margin. And now, you know, although you had this saving in your budget for that thing to get done, for the floors to get done, now you're in this daily tension wrestling match of things just not being done right. You come in, you see the floors done a certain way, you're like, hey, you guys didn't clean up yesterday after you guys did the work. Oh yeah, well, you know, some of the guys had to go home early, right? Well, part of that is they had to go home early because they didn't want to pay them, right? Or whatever the rationale is, it all came down to that margin being so thin that they're cutting corners on labor, they're cutting corners on maybe products, materials, you name it. And then this is the wild card. There's this thing called, if you're in construction, change orders. When the margin is thin and it's easy to kind of nitpick at things, your subcontractor will figure out a way to hit you with some change orders, which essentially is code for, I need more money, right? Because they're like, oh, well, you know what? This flooring that you wanted us to put in, the supplier doesn't make it anymore. So we gotta go get this other product. Please approve it. And that other product is gonna cost you more, but it's gonna cost them somehow if they're allowed to do the substitution, right? It's gonna cost them less, but they get to bill you for a higher priced product, while they, again, siphoned the difference. Yeah, this is a slippery slope and slimy game that gets played. I've seen it, I've heard about it, I've experienced it. This is the real world, okay? So, I hope that this made sense to you. And again, if you are a seasoned veteran, you're good. You know, this shouldn't even have been a podcast you listened to all the way to the end. But if you got value out of it and you're like, wow, this guy knows something, welcome. Glad you can affirm. He might know a few things about this. Yeah, I've got some knowledge and awareness and experience in this arena of bidding and knowing how to bid and understanding the incentives and looking at it from both sides. Okay? And I've learned some ugly, sad lessons by bidding too low on lump sum projects and bidding too low on hourly projects. I've gotten shot on both ends. Okay? That's why. So I'm speaking from experience. Okay. So that being said, if that didn't wake you up, let's close this episode out of The Grind Scheme of Things. I want to thank you for listening to this. I want you to know how much I appreciate you, the time that you've taken to hear me out on this subject matter. This subject matter is actually really fun and funny and also scary, daunting and overwhelming. Okay? So, you know, don't feel bad if you've kind of haven't been able to wrap your mind around, okay, well, what's better, hourly, lump sum? I mean, if you haven't figured out your combination or your blend or what your situation is, you're not alone. It's okay. It takes time to figure this out. And again, for the subcontractors or vendors that are out there, I hope now you've gotten a perspective on what's going on in the head of the entrepreneur, the bootstrapper, the startuppreneur, okay? When they're saying, you know, can you do lump sum versus hourly? Okay? There's risks, there's rewards to both. And I hope you are walking away after hearing this and understanding it and maybe retool and re-engineer how you want to approach projects so that everybody's happy. If you charge hourly, you're happy because you feel like you're definitely being well paid for the effort that you're putting in. And if you do lump sum, you feel like you're getting your surplus based on the bid that you put in or the amount that you have. Okay? All right. So thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Well, I know I already thanked you already, but I want to thank you again for hanging out with me during this episode of The Grind Scheme of Things. I started it off by saying, hey, I think this is one of my favorite subjects, but I think it's more, I'm passionate about what's fair. And I think the hourly model versus the lump sum model, that each person has to figure out what makes it fair for them. And I hope that's what you kind of could walk away considering, right? So whether you are a vendor, subcontractor, contractor, or you are the business owner, contract manager, project manager, I hope you're able to see where a workable intersection is for you and for the people that you're, you know, letting the work out to. Very, very important. Very, very humane, I think. So anyway, thank you again for listening, and hopefully I will connect with you in a future episode of The Grind Scheme of Things. Thanks a lot. Thank you.